Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Nancy Mace joins the program and some excellent news out of the RNC. You're going to want to celebrate listening to this episode. Great news out of the RNC. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Become a member. It's members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. And as always, you can email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Lots to cover. We've been receiving a fair amount of feedback on the RFK episode we did yesterday. If you missed that, please check it out on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast page. And let's get right into it. Joining us now is Congresswoman Nancy Mace. Congresswoman, thank you so much for taking the time. Tell us about your exchange with George Stephanopoulos.
Thank you, Charlie. First, I want to say longtime listener, first time caller.
Oh, thank you.
On the Charlie Kirk Show. It was wild and it was outrageous. So I get asked to go on ABC News this week with George Stephanopoulos. And we all know what a troll that guy is. But I'm willing to go into that lion's den. I'm willing to go into the hornet's nest and make my argument because, you know, the other side needs to hear that. We have a lot of independent voters that we want to bring in to vote for Donald Trump in November of this year. So I'm willing to walk into the hornet's nest and lion's den and have that debate. But when I got there, the first thing he does is confront me about my own rape that happened at the age of 16, 30 years ago. I mean, I was shocked. I was dismayed. And you can actually see me. I wince at the beginning of the interview because he's showing footage from a speech I gave 5 years ago. That speech is really difficult for me to watch because it takes a lot of courage to talk about being sexually assaulted, to talk about being a survivor of rape. That's not easy to do, especially in a very public forum where you know you're going to get attacked afterwards. And so it's painful for me. But the fact that he went there, and not just once, not just twice, three times, it was for like 8 out of 10 minutes. He just kept coming back to it. And it was outrageous, completely inappropriate and outrageous.
Let's play a piece of tape here. Let's go to cut 39, please.
And you've endorsed Donald Trump for president. Mm-hmm. Judges and two separate juries have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. How do you square your endorsement of Donald Trump with the testimony we just saw?
Well, I will tell you, I was raped at the age of 16. And any rape victim will tell you, I've lived for 30 years with an incredible amount of shame over being raped. I didn't come forward because of that judgment and shame that I felt. And it's a shame that you will never feel, George. And I'm not going to sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not going to do that.
Did they give you a heads up, Congresswoman, that this was going to be the entire interview, that you were going to be speaking about your personal history?
Not at all. I mean, it wasn't even a topic of discussion going into it. And I went to New York for this interview. Tough interviews I like to do in person on set. I'd rather have that debate in person. And there was not a single mention that they were going to make this the crux of the interview. And, you know, we're talking to a guy that was part of the Clinton crew, right, in the 90s, covering up so many allegations of sexual impropriety, sexual assault, sexual crime, sexual trauma against women that made allegations against Bill Clinton. So the irony here is that he did this, and we coined it rape shaming, right? He rape shamed me this Sunday on this week. And then to see the left come out in defense of all of this was really astonishing. But thank goodness for the right and for conservatives that saw it for what it was, and independent women in suburban areas that thought it was really disgusting what he did. But the next thing is that what he said about Donald Trump is false. Donald Trump has not been convicted of rape, not in a criminal court, not in a civil case. And so that's not what that judgment was about either. And I think that he opened himself and ABC News and ABC This Week up to huge liabilities. And if I were Donald Trump, I'd be suing him.
So let's talk about the reaction to it. You pinpointed this. You know, there's been a lot of attempts recently, and for good reason. For example, you know, with Senator Katie Britt, I think it was a good intention to try to win over suburban women. I'm sure you get asked this question all the time, Congresswoman. Mm-hmm. And yet the Democrat Party, who enjoys right now a, let's say, a competitive advantage with suburban female voters, they're the ones that are cheering on the kind of attacking of your personal history. Comment on a little bit more on that. And then secondly, what do Republicans need to do better with this now very, let's say, competitive group of suburban women?
Well, the first thing that I would say with this is that I've received death threats since this all happened. I've mostly, obviously, from the far left, from progressives, from people who have lost their ever freaking mind, that have decided that since George Stephanopoulos attacked and bullied and shamed a rape victim, that they too can do that. So our phones have been lighting up, emails, messages, et cetera, and including even a few death threats. The words that people are using to attack me are really disgusting. And the worst part of it too, Charlie, is that I had my daughter, my underage daughter, who's 14. She was on set with me on Sunday. She had to sit through this interview and listen to the way the barrage of questions, the bullying that this man was taking me on about my own issues and trauma that I had when I was raped. My daughter's very well aware of this story, but to hear and watch a man from the left do this, this progressive bully me live on air like that was deeply troubling for her. And for me as a mom, having to have this conversation with her in the car on the way to the airport was troubling. And now I have to have another conversation with my family about the death threats that we have received in the last 48 hours. But anyone can go on to X and see these leftists, these progressives who tell you that they support women attacking a woman who's been raped. And they've made memes, the words that they use, four-letter words. It's really disgusting. And when the left shows you who they are, when they tell you who they are, suburban women everywhere need to believe them. And we've heard from so many people, conservatives, Republicans, but even left of center women, suburban women, that were really offended by the line of questioning and the way that I was treated and bullied by ABC on Sunday.
What issue set do you think Republicans need to embrace or do better to win over more women and female voters?
Well, let's take the Alabama ruling with IVF. That's a great start. We saw Donald Trump come out in strong support of protecting IVF. There are a lot of families on both sides of the aisle that have relied on IVF to start their families. That's a place where we can all agree. 99% of the country agrees with us on that. We should double down on that. When we're talking about abortion, some of the things that I've seen that women really support are access to birth control. A lot of people, even in Republican circles, they say, well, that's not a thing. Every woman has access to birth control. But in my home state of South Carolina, we have 14 counties that don't have a single OBGYN doctor. Think more rural areas where it's harder to have to set up a practice and have patients. And so what are we doing? And even my conservative governor in South Carolina, Henry McMaster, with a Republican bill when Roe v. Wade was overturned, they signed a bill that would allow women to get the pill at their pharmacy, not having to go to the OBGYN. And so it's small steps that make a big difference. And, you know, not screaming at the left, but showing them how compassionate we are. Nobody on, you know, Democrat or left of center person, I believe, doesn't want to see the vast majority of them. They want to see abortion up until birth. And so talking about how Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, they have no limits. They won't answer the question when they're asked by media, what are your limits on abortion? Well, they have no limits. And reminding left of center suburban women that the left is okay with this until birth and in some cases after birth, because we've seen states like Virginia, for example, that have gone in and tried to do post-birth abortion legislation. And so just reminding people how compassionate the conservative messages and conservative position really can be is, I think, most important.
How do you feel? Well, I feel great. And one of the reasons I feel better is because I take Balance of Nature's fruit and veggies in a capsule. They have an amazing story of how this product was developed by Dr. Douglas Howard. It's right there on their website. Balance of Nature receives over 1,000 success stories every single month. They've had hundreds of thousands of customers who've purchased billions of capsules of fruits and veggies over the past 20 years, and you should check it all out on their website. Their products are gluten-free and non-GMO, and they contain no added sugars or synthetics. I think if you're looking for something to make you feel better naturally, you should definitely give Balance of Nature a try. In fact, order it today. Whether you order online or call them direct, you must use the promo code CHARLIE to get the special offer of 35% off. Call them at 800-246-8751 or use discount code CHARLIE. Order online at balanceofnature.com, discount code CHARLIE, to get 35% off. So please check it out right now. That is balanceofnature.com, 800-246-8751, promo code CHARLIE. Check it out. So, Congresswoman, can you comment on the budget submitted by Joe Biden? We are borrowing nearly $2.5 trillion this year. Doesn't seem to be much of a concern for the White House.
No, that's correct. And for the third year in a row, he's was a month late on the budget in this thing, and he's spending more money than we have. I would love to know where he thinks we're going to get all this money. It doesn't grow on trees. Raising taxes will not fix the problem that we have in this country. But I have to tell you, Charlie, it's not just Joe Biden that has created this problem with the inflation and the spending that we have, but we've got Republicans who have supported out of control spending for years, if not decades now. And it's time to have an honest to God conversation about how we're going to get ourselves out of the debt hole that we have right now. Over the last 200 days, we have seen the debt go up by $2 trillion. Every 100 days, we are adding $1 trillion to the debt. And in fact, it was just last year when the disgraced former speaker, Kevin McCarthy, put together that awful debt ceiling bill that actually had no ceiling to the debt. And for every good idea in there on the next page, there was a loophole for supplemental aid, supplemental spending, all the spending in the world with holding no one and neither side accountable. And it's deeply frustrating to see this year over year. And nobody ever held to account because they're saddling our children and our grandchildren with all of this debt over the next 10, 20, 50 years for their lifetime if we don't get a hold on this.
What is it going to take to culturally change D.C. so that spending can become a priority again? Because you're right, the vast majority of Republicans and Democrats have no concern that we owe significantly more than the GDP of our country. It's now 135% debt to GDP ratio. What is it going to take to change that culture?
It's going to take the grassroots winning elections to get fiscal conservatives, true, tried and true fiscal conservatives elected to Congress. It doesn't happen overnight. For example, I came to Congress having never, ever voted for a tax hike. I didn't do it as a state lawmaker. I won't do it now as a member of Congress. But ensuring that we elect people who are willing to make the tough decisions, who are willing to take the tough votes and take all of the attacks and ammunition that gets thrown your way when you don't go along to get along with the Republican Party or Democrats on spending issues. And it's an inherent problem. We've had it for a very long time. But there used to be a time when we could balance the budget. That time is long gone. I work on legislation every session with Rand Paul. It's called the Penny Plan. It's a reasonable way to balance the budget, to get our spending under control. But getting them to take a movement on anything like that or a balanced budget amendment is damn near impossible up here right now with the makeup of Congress. We've got to do better.
And just privately, do they ever express concern? I mean, do they care that they're suffocating future generations in debt, destroying the U.S. dollar? And I want to applaud you for your fiscal discipline on these issues. It is a moral question now, far more than it is a fiscal or a financial one.
There are fiscal hawks up here, but disturbingly, I'll be in meetings behind closed doors. I'll be with leadership. I'll be with Freedom Caucus. I'll be with different factions of the Republican Party. And I've been in conversations where the Freedom Caucus has said, hey, we're willing to do something short term here, but you've got to be responsible with spending, either cut spending or attach HR2, for example, to a spending bill, so that we can move this country forward safer, more secure, more prosperous. And then at the same time, at the same table, you'll see a different faction of our own Republican Party say, nope, we're not going to do that. We'll kill the bill. And so we have this behind the scenes, behind closed doors, this circular firing squad where you have Republicans that want to use spending to get, use immigration, for example, border security to as a wedge to get more spending for endless wars like in Ukraine, for example. I mean, I see this stuff going behind the scenes and we're our own worst enemy a lot of times.
Yeah, I just it is incredibly irritating. Final question here, and it's okay if you don't have an answer. Who do you think would be a good vice president for Donald Trump?
Oh, goodness. That'll be his decision. I've heard a lot of great names over the last couple of weeks, and I look forward to seeing who he picks.
So, and final question, Nancy, are you in cycle right now with your primary race, or how is it working with, you know, your current competitors? And you have a very, I believe, tight district. Is that correct?
I do. I won this seat in 2020. I flipped it from Democrat to Republican. I won it by 1 point in 2020. And in 2022, when they redrew the lines, it got 1 point better. And so I have a primary and a general election. You can go to nancymace.org. Kevin McCarthy, our disgraced former speaker, loser former speaker, recruited a candidate that he did not vet. She on Saturday apologized for calling illegals illegal. That's who Kevin McCarthy recruited to run against me. You can go to nancymace.org if you want to beat Kevin McCarthy, if you want to beat a Republican in the primary that thinks that it's not okay to call illegals illegal. On the same day Joe Biden apologized for calling Lake and Riley's murderer an illegal, my Kevin McCarthy recruited opponent did the same thing and apologized for it. But I need all the help I can get. We were endorsed by Donald Trump on Saturday.
Nancy, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Charlie Kirk, and I know a lot of you have been suffering under the Biden economy. Recently, school loan payments have been reinstated, and for many, it's adding thousands to their monthly expenses. My friends, Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, they're amazing. They really helped me through a tough situation recently. They've been excellent. They're ethical. They're just really great people. They're followers of Jesus Christ, and our worldviews are the same. I love them. And so please go to andrewandtodd.com. Interest rates are coming down, and they may be able to lower your overall payment. In fact, one of our team members said, Charlie, is it time for me to own a home? I sat down, I went through the numbers. I said, get in the owner game. Honestly, enough renting. You are burning your money renting. It might be a little bit more to own, but you're building equity. That's money you'll have for the rest of your life. Perhaps a reverse mortgage is a perfect solution. It's about expertise you could trust in times like this. I can't tell you how helpful they've been for me personally. They've just been excellent. Andrew and Todd, I'm honored to call them friends. We hang out when I go to Orange County together. They're really great. So say, Charlie sent me 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. They helped me through a mortgage situation recently that was super complex and moving pieces, and it was really, really tough. And other banks, by the way, wanted nothing to do with it, and they crushed it for me. 10 out of 10. AndrewandTodd.com. So check it out right now. AndrewandTodd.com. So as you know, as you remember, many of you, at Turning Point Action, we have made it a top priority for regime change at the RNC. Again, we're not taking credit for anything. It was a lot of different groups that were working on it, a lot of different voices, but we made it a primary fixation about the lack of investment, the poor spending, the waste within the RNC. This was a bottom-up movement, and you, the audience, deserve credit. You were on top of this from day one. You see, this is what really confused a lot of the reporters. And we sat down with reporters from Politico. We sat down with reporters from the New York Times, sat down with reporters from Daily Mail at our Restoring National Confidence Summit. And one of the questions that they would ask is, you know, there seems to be such a energy around the RNC race. And I would always answer, I said, it's the grassroots that deserve the credit. You, the audience, you got engaged, you became an activist. When the RNC would call you for money, you'd say, Ronna's got to go. You made phone calls. You made it a point of contention. You asked for the order. They've never had that type of opposition before. The RNC has never experienced millions of grassroots activists. And they doubted the impact of you. In fact, they thought that the noise would just pass. They thought that they could force Ronna in Dana Point last year. And that, you know, people would keep on giving money and everything would be fine and people would forget. And mind you, we didn't drop the issue, but once Ronna won her term in Dana Point, which she won, she had more insiders and cronies in Dana Point last year at the RNC winter meeting. We didn't really mention it for 3 to 6 months. We take some shots at the RNC should be doing this, not doing that. But they brought this upon themselves. The lack of investment in Arizona, the lack of investment in Wisconsin, the lack of investment in Georgia. And so when new finance reports came out and showed that they were still spending all this money on flowers and donor mementos and donor gifts, not to mention the track record of losing that continued. And what really amplified, and I think invigorated many of you in this audience, is when the RNC hosted all of these expensive debates with mainstream networks like NBC News, Univision, and they refused to meet with people like Scott Pressler. When the RNC was more focused on planting negative stories against Charlie Kirk, against Tyler Boyer, against Turning Point, where they went out of their way to try and hurt groups that they should be allied with, where they tried planting stories in the Associated Press, where they were planting stories in adversarial, combative media outlets. We said, wait a second, why is the RNC spending so much time? Who are these people? And there are still stories I have not told you about how sinister, how dark the RNC was. And one day I will tell those stories. Maybe once after this election, I'll tell you about what they did. These people are not good people. It was modern day hostage taking. But I'm willing to put that aside until after the election. But one day that story will be told. So we made it a focus, as you well know, to remove Rana. And we had the Restoring National Confidence Summit, and it was a big deal. But President Trump deserves the credit. President Trump heard the demands of the grassroots. President Trump heard the cries and the rancor of the precinct committeemen and the state party chairs, and he acted swiftly. Put in new chairman Michael Whatley alongside of Laura Trump, who's a superstar, and Chris LaCivita. And some of you, and then I'm not going to say any names, would email us and say, but it doesn't change unless you change the staff. I said, I agree. Let's give this new regime a little chance. Politico.com. Bloodbath at RNC. Trump team slashes staff at committee. Donald Trump's newly installed leadership team at the RNC on Monday began the process of pushing out dozens of officials, according to two people close to Trump campaign and the RNC. Over 60 people are expected to be fired, terminated, or asked to resign. That's right. Over 60 people. There is a firing spree going on right now at the RNC. Sean Carinacross, the RNC's new COO, said the new committee leadership was, quote, in the process of evaluating the organization and staff to ensure the building is aligned with its vision. The overhaul is designed at cutting bureaucracy. Over 60 people are expected to be let go. Now, this is just the beginning. And I could tell you right now, having spent time around the RNC building and at RNC functions, there are some good people that work there. But there are people that are philosophically and ideologically no different than Democrats. And they're the ones that work on the data team or the PR team. And Trump is going in there with a sword, and he is saying, no more. We are going to turn this into an RNC that can win. Whatley is replacing Rana, who stepped down last week after serving more than 7 years in that post. Let's just ask the question. The 7 years that Rana was chair, is the party stronger? Nope. Her last year had the worst fundraising year, 30 years inflation adjusted, for the RNC. Trump and McDaniel have been longtime allies. But the former president soured on the chairman because he felt she was not doing enough on voter integrity related issues and because she hosted Republican primary debates that he refused to participate in. Trump advisors have described the RNC structure as overly bloated and bureaucratic, which they believe has contributed to the party's cash woes. The RNC had about $8 million at the end of December cash on hand, while the Democrats had $24 million cash on hand. Under the new structure, the Trump campaign is looking to merge the operations of the RNC. Key departments such as communications, data, and fundraising will effectively be one and the same. You guys should take a victory lap. You deserve incredible amounts of praise here. You didn't give up. You stayed on the case. And the mission statement is very simple. Victory is the only option at the RNC. Not leaking stories to the press, not keeping your chairmanship, not the perks, and not acting like it's some sort of incestuous country club, which is how Rana was running it. She was running it as if she wanted this permanent kind of, it's like she's running it as if she was like an ambassador to the Turks and Caicos or something, as if it was just some sort of a cush job and you just got to keep the the people happy. It was her fiefdom. It was her rule, and just to kind of, at least you keep 60 to 70% of the voting members happy. Throw a little money here, a little building fund here, a little state deal here. So be it. It doesn't matter if you lose elections. You just kind of check the boxes. You keep the right people happy. But after disappointing result, you would have thought that there'd be some self-awareness. Like, get out of the way. But they did not feel that urgency. And President Trump deserves huge praise here for coming in straight to the RNC. They even say that vendor relationships are being cut. All told, the expectation is more than 60 RNC staffers who work across the political communications and data departments will be let go. You just got to ask the question, what were they doing? If Trump can come in and his team and cut 60 RNC staffers, ramping up for a presidential year, what were these people doing exactly? Running opposition research on Turning Point? Maybe. Creating relationships with mainstream reporters? You got to wonder, what are those 60 people doing? Trump comes in and says, you're fired. By the way, this also should give you some excitement of how Trump is going to govern the executive branch on day one. This should give you some excitement that RNC first, FBI next. RNC today, CIA tomorrow. RNC today, Department of Justice next year. And this is not going to be an easy type thing. Okay, so you fire a bunch of people. Fire 60 people. There's going to be people that leak. They go to the reporters. Oh, you can't do this job. You got to get down to the essence of it. And by the way, you got to fire and then rehire. You got to get the body count. But the thing about these 60 people, political communications and data departments, they're probably all DC based. They probably all, you know, just play rap-a-tap-dap on their laptop all day long. We need warriors in Georgia right now. It's the advice I gave Laura Trump. The RNC should say we are opening 3 field offices. One in Maricopa County. And by the way, we would be thrilled to have the RNC open a field office in Maricopa County. Not some sort of victory thing. An actual RNC staffed field office. Boom. Waukesha County, number 2. Fulton County or Cobb County or Gwinnett. Pick whichever one. Doesn't matter. 1, 2, 3. And if they really want to go to the next level, which they won't do, sell the DC building. Sell the building. You don't need it. Send a statement. We no longer need DC operations. Sell it to some developer, or some sort of country club. It literally is right next to Congress. What in the RNC's modus operandi necessitates their presence in Washington, D.C.? What? They're not a lobbying group. They shouldn't be around lawmakers. They should be in the states, in the counties, in the weeds of the places that they need to win. The RNC exists for a lot of different things, but one major thing, which is to elect a president. And that's not going to happen on K Street. It's not going to happen on L Street. It's going to happen in Maricopa, Waukesha, and Cobb County. And by the way, we are going to do a segment at some point on Boeing. Another plane today. It seems like an almost daily occurrence. One bound for SFO, San Francisco, had to turn around mid-flight because of a mechanical issue. It's the 6th United flight in the last week. Yikes. And then you have this whistleblower that suspiciously kills himself and he is due to testify further on a Boeing-related matter. I'm sure it's just a coincidence. So we're getting questions here, freedom@charliekirk.com. Charlie, is it time to now donate to the RNC? And I got to be honest, so far they're earning our trust. I had a major donor and I sent this, you know, because you know, there's a fair amount of, I'd say we have a couple enemies. Would you think that's true, Andrew? We got a couple enemies out there. So I got a text message from a very top level donor. I want to read this to you. Charlie, happy weekend. This was a couple days ago. I have a question. I've been an RNC supporter for years. I took your advice to not renew next week. Now that they have changed leadership, is it safe to reinvest? I so want a Trump victory. Blessings to you and your sweet family. I won't say who it is. And I said, yes, I believe so. I would mention you are reinvesting because of a new leadership and vision. I want a strong RNC. We need it. And I sent that to Laura and to Michael Watley, and they were very appreciative. We got to build it back up. You got to fire these deep state people. You got to go in. Here's the thing. You got to fire the Peter Strzoks of the RNC, the Lisa Pages. You got to go in there, and you got to fire the Christopher Rays, and they're lurking. I'm telling you, these people hate Trump. They hate MAGA. They hate populism. They hate nationalism. They don't like anything. They got, by the way, I kid you not, I did a tour. I don't know if this is still the case. I do not know if this is still the case. But in 2019 and 2020, right before COVID, I did a tour of the RNC. And one of the digital guys had a Romney flag up. And so I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I said, oh, is this, you know, some sort of like antique or, you know, okay, you guys used to work for Romney, or is it some sort of joke? And with like a stone cold face, he's like, no, Mitt Romney's one of the most supportive Republicans we have. And I'm honored that he's fighting. This is at a time, by the way, when Mitt is like writing op-eds about why Trump needs to be impeached. And remember that Mitt Romney comes right out of the gate. One of the first things he did as a senator, that Mitt, you know, Mitt Romney, I said, holy crow, we got a problem here. And the big problem in 2020, I'm not going to say in 2020 the RNC was actively working against Trump, but in politics, when you're talking about 10,000 votes here and 9,000 votes here and 20,000 votes here and 30,000 votes here, every ounce of energy matters. And so you need dedicated warriors. You need loyalists. They're going to be the ones that stay up to 1 o'clock in the morning versus 11 to make sure that whatever project they're working on is perfect, because a deep believer will give you that extra 5%. They'll give you that extra 10%. They'll give you that extra 20%. The RNC was staffed with people that looked at it as a job. They would tolerate Trump. They would have, you know, secret group Slack messages. Oh my goodness, I don't like him. Or, oh, these people are terrible. No, no, no. You need stalwarts. So Laura Trump with Maria Bartiromo. Priorities for the RNC under new leadership. Play cut 57.
What is your priority leading the RNC right now?
We have to ensure that when people go vote, they feel like their vote counts, that they are inspired to go vote. We can never allow what happened in 2020 and the questions surrounding that election to ever happen again. To anyone out there who is thinking about cheating in an election, we will go after you. You will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. It is not worth it.
Boom. What a difference than Ronna McDaniel or Rahm McRomney. This is a big deal. You got the RNC that's now purging the deep state. You got Laura Trump going on national TV saying, handcuffs, leg irons, prison time is coming if you cheat. I love that. We're going to do everything we can to find you. The RNC, by the way, should be uniting Republican sheriffs, DAs, and AGs, and at least getting them on a unified message. If you cheat, you go to prison. And you know what's really promising? Laura Trump is a fan of what we're doing with ballot chasing at a turning point. And I'm a fan of theirs. I want them to succeed. They want us to succeed, because it's not about us succeeding. It's just one thing we want. We want victory in November. Done. Every single decision, every single thing we are doing from now to November is a question. Does it get it closer to us winning in November or further away? AKA save the country. And the RNC now has a regime of leadership that is demonstrating. They very well could have assumed leadership. Oh, these 60 people, we keep them, you know, we put them out here. It's not easy to slay a bureaucracy. It's not popular in that building. I'm sure there's clamoring of the gnashing of teeth and leaking to the press. So what? TheWeek.com. Trump allies fold RNC into Trump campaign. About time. We need a one consolidated vision and machine that'll get us closer to victory. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.